Hello, and welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. This is, oh god, I just had the spreadsheet open, I already don't have the number. This is number 18, Bangkok Dangerous from 2008.
Another Cage remake.
I've had like 2.5 years since we talked about this to watch the original. Forgot about it all entirely, you know. But hey, whatever.
I still can't remember that one where he plays Little Junior. What's the name of that?
Kiss of Death.
I still haven't watched. That's the one I haven't gone back to watch the original of. But
oh.
Left Behind, Gone in 60 Seconds. This is actually maybe the best of all of them.
All right, here. We need you to pick.
Oh, right.
Bingo card.
Bingo. Are these updated?
No, because I had these printed out, so we're just going to burn through these.
Okay.
And then we're going to. I don't think we're missing too many, though. Right. As always, you can download the Cage Club bingo card at cageclub.me on any episode of
Cage
Club
Revisited. These notes from last time?
These are just the ones I just keep all my bingo stuff together, so I gotta, you know,
maybe
update these.
Some...
Who knows?
Right, I gotcha.
You know, I'm very organized, but then I get home and I put this in a specific place that I don't look, and I'm like, well, you know.
Let me get a color here.
Hey, grab a color. Doing all sorts of prep before
go
we actually get
highlighter.
Going.
Highlighter.
Oh, go
think
highlighter.
I don't think
Sharpie.
I've gone that way. There we go.
I'm gonna go this Robin's Egg Blue Sharpie. It's a grip. Oh, right, it's a grip. I forgot I've used this one before, I think. All right, so we are watching the Bangkok Dangerous DVD.
Yep. On the PS4.
On the PS4.
All right.
All right, if you want to get it going.
PS I Love Hoffman 4. Play movie.
Play movie.
Whoa. Gunshots.
This is, I think, the closest to the release date that we are recording a Cage Club Revisited, maybe ever. This episode that we're recording now is going to come out in 3 weeks.
Oh, okay, yeah, we had a backlog that we're going to catch up on now.
Yep, well, I mean, like, we come here, we're going to do 3 or 4 today. That gives us almost 2 months of leeway,
mm-hmm.
headway, whatever.
Yeah, whenever we get together, we usually do at least 3, so that's good.
Although the last 2 times, I think we've only done 2. We did 2 with Carol, we did 2 with Brian, right? So, I mean, it's been a little bit, we're just sort of like playing even. We're not really gaining any ground there. But the exciting thing is next time... you'll be able to visit me in the
new studio,
the new Cage Club headquarters in Central Jersey.
Dude, okay, so far we have three production logos, and I know
solid.
There was something going on with this.
Oh,
Saturn. Saturn. No,
it's
Saturn
a Cage
films.
Production.
Yeah, I think the last, at least one of the last times we recorded a third time's a charm before we did some of these. So you know, we do other stuff when we get together to podcast related.
Oh yeah, we did
so
2 Charlies that one day.
Right. Right. Pang Brothers. So these guys did the original too, which is interesting. They're like both entirely their vision, which is cool.
I've got a few different ones that I know I'm going to get. Does anybody ever say in this movie the titular line?
Oh, that
man, that guy is really Bangkok Dangerous.
I mean, it would be a miracle if you could fit it into that, but voiceover.
I don't remember if I added that yet.
Oh, man. See, okay, so I wrote about this movie for the new episode, the new issue of the fanzine
that our friend puts out,
and I think that's the reason I wanted to watch it, because we get villainous Cage, but he's not like a mean villain, you know?
This is already more cinematic than I was remembering it. Is he eating? He's in a restaurant. Maybe he's not.
Guy just takes a shot. Oh, and he vanishes. That's
Whoa.
Nice. I remember being trepidatious watching this because of how much I liked the original one, because, I don't know, I was getting into, like, that side of the world cinema, and that was one of the first, I think, movies from that region that I saw when I was getting into, like, South Korean films and
sure.
more into Japanese films, and this, and I just thought there was, like, just, like, this crazy rhythm to that movie that was really unique at the time, so...
I already crossed off 1 bingo card spot, Cage's top build in the credits.
Oh, cool.
I feel like I've had that in a lot of cards recently, and he hasn't been, so...
I think I got one. Cage is exasperated, a broken man, I think, from that opening shot.
I'll give it to you. You know, he's alone. He's not a guy who has a family. As opposed to, you know, what we've seen lately, Cage as dad somewhat more often, at least,
yeah.
in the last couple movies. This one, he is very alone in this world.
This is like his Deadshot moment.
Except, is anybody going to pay him his $2 million or his $1 million?
I'm pretty sure Bangkok Dangerous gets paid before he even, you know, loads his weapon. It was such a character flaw of the Deadshot.
It's weird. It's a weird moment in Suicide Squad. Although I think he gets paid, and I think he just wants to double his payment or something when he finds out what it is.
I don't even. I can't. Scene is so hard to follow. And oh, he looks pretty good here. I like the long hair.
You know, I was looking at our email addresses. You can email us mailbag@cageclub.me, and I was like, who the hell is Ben@cageclub.me? I'm like, we don't have a Ben as a host. And I was like, oh right, that was for our Ben Affleck podcast.
Oh man, can we scrap that somehow?
That nothing is going to come from. Although, check out the website on Sunday. This Sunday is April 1st. You might see a little weird special treat.
That's pretty funny. We finally figured out what to do with that. That was a great call.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a good movie. I don't even know if it's a good episode, but like we recorded it and I edited it, so like it's done.
It's got to be done. Something's got to be done with it. This is pretty cool. I like this. Boom.
Ooh, right in time with the clock. So silent.
Yeah, it's very visual. So far, we've only had voiceover, and you know, like, oh, his name's Joe again. Hey, like the,
I remember that now.
It's interesting that, like, all the talking has been voiceover, and generally I would be against something like that, but it's nice and limited.
It is nice. Although we don't really have a ton of Cage voiceover, I don't think. I don't remember if that is a clue or that's one that we're going to, or a bingo square, or if that's one we're going to add.
I think we add voiceover at some point. Not positive. Chemist Cage. Have you ever been to Bangkok?
I've never been outside. Before I went to London in the fall, I'd never been outside of North America. So
okay.
I
traveled a little as like a child with my family a bit, like Jamaica once, Norway, because I'm from there.
Did you go to Bangkok then?
No, but this is, I'll tease for my lap, which I know now is going to not be for a while because I listened to the last episode and that's cool, but like I'll just tease the Tokyo Drift episode. I've been to Japan.
There you go.
So I think Joe and I might have something to talk about.
Yeah, also there. Check out on Sunday the Fast Five episode of Too Fast, Too Forever, which I am super psyched about. He goes by Mr. London here.
Oh, it'd be great if he had a London accent. Yeah, I don't think he does that. This is like his guy. He goes to every town or every city he's in, he finds a guy to like help him out, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. I think this is in his, what? I'm not sure. I'm always out of order in like what he's shot because we're doing these out of order, so like I've sort of lost touch with the order of his movies.
Yeah.
But he looks like he looks in Next a little bit in this movie.
This is after Next.
Okay.
I don't remember what year Next was. I can look that up. This is 2008, though.
Oh, is this a Mark? I thought this was his guy. Oh, this is a Mark. Oh, look at that.
Four rules.
That's a good rule. Don't ask questions.
No such thing as right and wrong. Yep.
That's the same rule.
Same rule. It sounds like two different rules, but okay.
Yeah, don't take an interest in other people. No such thing as trust. Those also sound like two other rules.
Definitely sounds like a broken man, I can tell you that much.
Erase every trace, become anonymous, and leave nothing behind. There's basically one rule. No attachments, right?
Yeah.
No one to get out.
Just like Logan Lucky.
Yeah.
No one to walk away.
Shit will go wrong. That was a good list.
So the Next came out in 2007, so that was the year before this.
Oh, okay.
All so, right around that same era. I mean, who knows when they actually shot things? Because, like we've said over and over again, we have done no research.
You know
into
what, though? What's so crazy about Next, that movie is like 80% special effects, I feel. Like, that probably all looked like it took a week to shoot the rest of the movie.
Probably.
Because, like, they just redo the same, like, location over and over again.
Which
mostly
is actually kind of smart from a budgetary perspective, right?
Smart.
Like, hey, you know, there's like this, what would be a 90-second scene is now a 4-minute scene. We just film it a bunch of times, but we don't have to, like, go to a different place. We don't have to light it differently. We just have them do different patterns or whatever. I'm sure it's a pain in the ass in terms of editing, in terms of, like, effects, but, like, in terms of the actual shooting.
Should we add, like, late titles, title cards or something like that?
I want to say that is one.
That feels, well, I feel like anything that doesn't come up during the opening, well, these are the opening credits, but there's like that cold open. It's a long one, though.
I mean, yeah, it is a long one. It's not as long as Raising Arizona, though.
This one's 8 minutes. I think that's 15, right? 15 or 20.
It's long. That cold open to Raising Arizona is also the greatest one ever. Aside from maybe Superman 3. 1 and 1A. Oh, also on Sunday, Tuesday, check out the second episode.
Oh, yeah.
Third Time's a Charm.
Jaws 3D, the third dimension is terror.
I was watching the movie Tonight She Comes, which is the second movie that my friend made. He made that movie Rewind that you watched.
Oh, okay. Oh, I gotta watch it then.
And he made Tonight She Comes. It's available on iTunes. It's nowhere else. I bought it on iTunes.
Alright.
It's shot really, really nicely. I don't love it. I like Rewind better. I like this.
Uh-huh.
And I also, because I know him, I also like it a lot because of that. At least three things, and it made me want to vomit, which is surprising.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the reason I'm bringing it up is because there's a joke in there about something, and they call it Shark Week, and they say Day 4, the Revenge. And so I was like, oh. Almost. Third Time's a Charm. Shout out. Almost.
Close. I mean... Check out Book Club in that episode. That's all I'll say.
I'm going to actually write down Produced by Cage. I don't know if that's a clue, but Produced by Cage is a...
He hasn't been doing that a lot. He had a streak for a while. I think there was like a decade there.
Yep.
But he's also producing other films, so that's interesting. Oh, so, I mean, I don't know. When is this going to air? Is this going to air after April 20th?
This is March 29th.
Oh. So, my friend who worked on Mandy...
Yeah.
...who was an executive producer on that, her next movie got into Tribeca.
Kate Micucci?
Yeah, so it's crazy. It's called The Seven Stages... No, Seven Stages to Achieve Eternal Bliss by Passing Through the Gateway Chosen by the Holy Storch. So, I have no idea what it's about. It's a comedy, but it's crazy. She's blowing up. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to mention it in the third episode that we record today, because that'll be after that's out, so cool. One other question about Jaws. In terms of historically, bad movies...
Please.
Obviously, the first one is the classic.
Yep.
I haven't heard much about 2 or 3, but is 4... 4 is historically known as the bad one, right?
Oh, yeah. Historically, yeah. It's
okay.
The ridiculous one. Like, 3 is... bad, but it's more bad because of like the production value. Like
okay.
The story is actually kind of interesting. I don't want to spoil anything for that episode, but like it's kind of a clever idea. It's just a piss ass poor execution. Like they just shouldn't have made it a 3D movie, but you know they couldn't help it at the time. I saw Jaws 4 in theaters. I didn't know it was a bad Jaws movie at the time. I remember talking about Superman 4 in theaters on the first episode, and I was like, I didn't know Superman 4 sucked. Like, I just was a dumb kid. I thought it was cool. Same with Jaws. I was, like, scared from the Jaws, and my dad was just like, how is he in the Bahamas? I was like, I don't know. I'm just a kid. Oh, here's his contact.
He is... Yeah. Because he saw this guy, like, doing, like, the razor blade and doing some kind of, like, subterfuge or... you know, common street thievery, and he knows that he's the kind of guy he's looking for.
Those are fantastic shirts.
They really are. So what's disappointing is that on my card I have New Orleans, and Bangkok seems like it's the New Orleans of Thailand, but it does not count. It's also remarkable so far. I mean, we're only like 10 or 12 minutes into this movie. There's been no subtitles. Everything's been in English, which sort of feels... like that's
oh, no,
like...
there were. There were guys speaking subtitles.
Oh, were there?
Yeah. They're different because they're different sizes.
So I'm gonna cross that out because we do watch these movies with English subtitles because we have the volume low so we can follow what's going on, so we can remember what's going on. But that's good because I saw Red Sparrow, which I really liked, but like that's 100% in English and it just feels strange. I mean, I guess you're not gonna have like Jennifer Lawrence and Joel Edgerton in a movie and like have it 100% in Russian.
No.
Although I guess this episode's not out yet as we're recording this, but. Every episode of Magic Mike's, Joe and I guess what's going to happen on the next movie.
Oh, no.
And so the next movie we're doing is one you're going to be on as a guide to recognizing your saints, the Shia movie.
Oh, love it.
And so Joe's guess for that is that they are altar boys in the Vatican, and the movie's 100% in Italian. And so I would just love a movie in which Shia and Channing Tatum play Italian altar boys, and it's 100% in Italian. I mean, also, I have to say, I'm not going to spoil anymore, that guess of his for what he thinks the movie is about is my favorite thing he's ever said on any podcast, I think. It is... It had me crying laughing while editing it. Like, I remembered what it was, and it was so insane that it was making me cry while editing it. I was laughing so hard. Because it's just so... Like, he just doubles down on stupidity, and it's this, like, you know, commitment to what he thinks this movie's going to be about when he doesn't want to know anything about it. And I was like, I'm going to abstain because Mike and I just watched it a little over a year ago and talked about it for all his movies.
Yeah.
So go check that out. But I was like, what do you think it's about? I'm like, all I'm going to tell you is that you know Mike's on the episode, so it's not current day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say Shia's in it. And he just ran with it. And I was like, this is amazing.
Pretty great. Well, I mean, even I saw Silence, and even Scorsese didn't make that in, you know, that was in English. So yeah. Like, he's not going to do it. Although, you know, one thing about Keanu, about him, what makes him an amazing director is that he did do that Man of Tai Chi. Yep. So, like, there you go. I love when that happens. And
I feel like Cage is feeling like he made the wrong decision here. I wonder, I mean, I think this is the only one that we see. I wonder if he has these sort of, like, growing pains. Oh, there's a different subtitle.
Duckfucker.
I wonder if he's just kind of growing pains with every one of his new hires. You know what I mean? Like,
this guy
isn't exactly what I wanted.
So here's what I think about, because I've been thinking about this movie for
a few days.
Oh, I
forgot about these girls. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that this is supposed to be his last job. And even though he goes city to city and gets sort of like a guy to handle his like day-to-day stuff, I think he's looking for a replacement. And so he's being a little tougher on this guy. He's sort of picked a guy who maybe he sees more of himself in, so he's sort of, you know, maybe he's got a little bit of jealousy towards him at times because he can't do what he's doing right now. And
I get it.
So that could be happening. Also, in the original, the roles are sort of, the movie is more about Kong, I think, and not about the hitman Joe. So I think they're trying to lean into that a little more here, too.
I'm crossing off dancing because we have dancing in the club.
Nice.
I forgot how pretty this girl is.
I forgot all about this this thread. I remember we get the deaf girl at one point. I
forget about that too.
That's so sweet. I remember you loving that when we first watched this because you get Cage with like the old grandma and trying to like do sign language, but he's doing like Cage sign language. And you'll remember when we get there.
I don't remember much about this movie. The only thing I remember about this movie. I remember one thing that happens at the end, which I will not spoil in case you're watching this for the first time, I guess. This would be a weird way to do it. But number two, I remember that this was the episode that we tried to do with Zach's girlfriend at the time, Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
And we had such technical difficulties that we're just like, we're just going to do it ourselves. So, sorry about that. So,
that
what could have been sliding doors situation wound up being a solo bolo episode.
That was crazy that day because we tried to do that episode and like I think we took a couple hours and then we just recorded it ourselves.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Do we have Cage drives as one? I don't know. I'm gonna write that down. Is he gonna rent sports
cars? We have like a master list that we should be referencing. Like
I do have a master list. I guess I can print it out every time.
Well, not even to print out, but I mean just to. So we're
not. I can print it out once and then just add to the list.
There you go.
Because there is a master list. Because in the actual Excel sheet that you can download at CageClub.me on any one of these episodes. There's a list in the second tab of all of the things. So you take that list and you scramble it on this like randomizer site, and you just grab the first 24 because there's the free space, and you put them in. So we probably have about 50 things.
Yeah.
It's just, damn, I have New Orleans and Las Vegas, and we're not going to get either of those, and they're both basically the same city as Bangkok. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. One thing we should try and do is something like, you know, make sure that doesn't happen on a card. Maybe have two of the same. I mean.
Well, it's random. I mean, there's no...
Yeah.
Because he could do both.
I guess you're right. He could do both. He hasn't yet. But he has gone from, like, New York to Las Vegas to Hawaii.
And also, if the worst thing is that I just don't win bingo, I think that's fine.
I like how all of the, like, quote-unquote real subtitles are, like, these, like, curses about towards Cage. Like, that one was fuck your mother.
That's someone makes a threat, though. I gotta cross that off. I have 4 boxes plus the free space crossed off, and I have only 2 in a direction and 2 ways. 3 ways, but...
I've got, like, nothing going on here. I think I got a bad card.
It's a very quiet, very slow movie. Here he is memorizing a picture, face, burning it.
I remember it not being so much about the action hits, even though we get one or two of them, but it's more the meditation on the end of his career.
I remember that... Oh, Cage works out.
He's working out. He's jogging.
I remember toward the end it gets hyper-stylized with all that like red light and stuff in that final showdown, final action scene. But this is really way more... Like, I don't know if it's good or not. Like, I'm enjoying it.
This seems like a real Bruce Wayne moment where he's like got his 3 motorcycles in his garage and he's getting ready to go out and gear up.
Where's that red sports
car, baby? He's looking kind of Batman here. Is that him?
Yeah, because it's that watch.
That was an awkward wipe, a very George Lucas wipe there.
It was a star wipe.
It's kind of good that we have the watch to track him, because that I doubt that's him in that helmet, even though I really want it to be. This might have been a stuntman day.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Keanu Reeves. He's no motorcyclist.
Ooh, what if it was Keanu Reeves that day?
As the stuntman?
Yeah, just to drive the motorcycle around.
I would love it. I would love it.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
King Kong.
Yeah, I forget.
Donkey Kong?
Yeah, I forget Kong is like a real name too, but some of my favorite fictional characters are named Kong, like, but they're all apes, like, not this one. Oh, Muay Thai kickboxing.
DK, Donkey Kong.
Oof, oof, oof.
I have gambling on my card. Is anybody, any money passing?
Oh, they're definitely gambling here,
we don't
right?
see it. I mean, yeah, it's not an assumed, it's an assumed gamble.
Oh, so you've seen Kickboxer, Bloodsport. Have you seen both of them? Or have you
I've seen
either?
Bloodsport. I've not seen Kickboxer.
So Kickboxer, he actually becomes one of these types of kickboxing guys.
JCVD?
Like does Muay Thai. Yeah. But then goes into like the underground circuit, and they box with like glass on their hands. It's awesome. But I remember watching Bloodsport, and the kickboxer in that movie was my favorite contestant at the time.
Bloodsport rules.
No, it's so good. So I had to call it Bloodsport. I mean, do you want the rest of this just to be me quoting Bloodsport?
I mean, it could be.
Yo, Frankie. what's that line? He's like,
oh, the elephant painting. Right, right, right. And then the elephant, spoiler for the end of the movie, gets turned upside down.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a real Lex Luthor move. Turns his painting upside down. Aren't you a little young for Kumite? Aren't you a little old for
Kumite,
video games?
Kumite, Kumite, Kumite. I'm really surprised that it took me as long as it did to watch that movie. Like, how this got made covered it, which is why I watched it.
Oh, why? They don't... Are they, like, amazed that it got made? Like, because it's
so good?
Well, no,
they're, like, 200 movies in, so they're just now...
okay.
Like, they sometimes just watch movies. Like, they did The Rock and Con Air, because they just... Or maybe, no. They did Con Air and Face Off.
Oh,
they
I see.
Con Air and Face Off. Sometimes it's just, you know...
Yeah.
Movies that they love that are genuine, like, action movies that are just crazy and over the top.
Right. Yeah, from time to time there, it's like, how did this get made? Because we love it so much, not because it's, like, completely ridiculous.
One box that I have on my card is Dramatic Tonal Shift, which I don't think I'm going to get, because I feel like this movie is insistent at what it is, which is good. Like, I mean, you don't have, like, a wacky... Like, it's not going to become, like, a comedy, or it's not going to get, like, you know, real, like, weird. Like, it's just, like, this... slow burn thriller.
He's in the suit. It is him, maybe, because he's got everything on with the visor up, and he looks awesome. Look at him. He's so Batman there. It's like Big Daddy.
Can you get a timestamp? Because I want to use this as the screenshot for this.
22 minutes and
22:30-ish.
Yeah.
This poor kid. Oh.
There he goes. Dude, he's so Bruce Wayne in this. It's like this globe-trotting assassin version of Batman.
Did he hack? He hacked the... whatever. The stoplight, so that he's able to control it, so he can get there in 20 and 11 seconds or whatever and make this kill.
He's super precise. I like that.
He's good at what he does. Man.
Cool.
Cage. Killing.
dude. That seems.
Oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to cross off gif-worthy scene of when he flips the visor down. Like, that's the Cage version of putting on shades. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Like, it's that, like, that meme of the sunglasses coming from the top of the picture. That's the Nicolas Cage version of that.
That felt like such a late 80s shootout. It was great.
Oh, no. I forgot about that. Yeah.
He just got nicked by the barb. Whatever that thing was.
But that impacts him in some way. Does it just hurt him, or it's like it has his blood on it or something? I don't remember what it is, but it's...
Did they get his DNA from it, maybe? His ID?
I don't remember, but that comes back in a way. Don't know that we're going to get crazy eyes. Don't know that we're going to get Cage laughs maniacally. Hope he shaves, because he is clean shaven in this.
We might get crazy eyes. I don't know.
It's possible. Cage, why don't you just like grab something and take a bite? Although I don't think we're going to get magic mistresses. We might. I don't know.
He's at the pharmacy, then he's in Bangkok, so he might get like some holistic medicine or something.
I guess that's mysticism.
Well, she might give him a few words about it.
I'm buying this for the magical elements. All right.
She's like, it's not mystic. It's just normal.
Oh, this is the deaf girl. Right.
She doesn't speak at all.
It's weird that she comes over to help.
Yes.
Although, I guess if she can... Okay, so here's the thing. So if she can read lips, she can probably read Thai. She can't read...
English. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Probably. That's why they have to develop, like, some kind of fake sign language with their eyes. I think she may have also come over because she's interested in him.
Is he dirty or just really tan?
I think that was a bruise, though.
Or it's a bruise, okay.
I think that was bruise. Bruce Willis, yeah. Bruce Valange.
Cage, why are you... Oh, she...
He's awestruck. He's like, I can't believe what is happening right now.
Is that like... Crazy Eyes? What she's doing?
Does it have to be him?
No, it just says Crazy Eyes. I'm going to give
it... That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, sure, Crazy Eyes.
Oh, she's like doing all this like mime stuff. Dude. It's great. I like Cage with the long hair. Like, it looks so much better than, you know, the Cameron Poe hair. Like,
well, the Cameron Poe hair is a very specific choice.
I think it's because he's lacking that, like, the front. Like, he got the whole forehead going on with this, with the black hair.
Yeah.
The black long hair.
Man, being in Bangkok sure is dangerous. If there is a sentence... I'm not going to give myself full credit, but if there's a sentence that says, where they say Bangkok and dangerous in the same sentence, that's like, as close as we're going to get. Because Bangkok dangerous is nonsense words.
But like,
don't make sense.
Falling in love in Bangkok can be dangerous, you know? Like, if his buddy says that to him or something like that, I'll give it to you. Or at least color in half of the square.
I don't think that's going to help me in any... Like, I'm not going to win on...
I'm away that aren't going to be in the movie, and I've only colored off like 3 squares.
I've done 7, but I only have 3 in a way, so.
It's hard to tell if he's accentuating an oddly specific word. I guess when he said disinfectant, it's not going to help me anything. It's weird how the chorus girls are just kind of standing there.
I don't think we get to know any of them aside from their leader, right? Like,
right,
they're just...
Right. It's funny how you called her their leader, because they totally feel like some sort of gang of some kind that they're not even, like, working there. They just come in there to dance and sort of take over the club for a while.
Kong is in love...
And it works, too, I think, right? Like, she ends up liking him because he's not...
I mean, she just said something, but there wasn't like even something. But she is smitten.
Oh.
Damn. Cage just got clocked off his bike with a baseball bat.
Is that Cage?
Oh, I don't know if I told you this.
No,
but...
it's Kong.
Is it... Oh, is that Kong? Oh, it is Kong. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stay away from my girl.
I don't know if I told you this, but...
where's my money?
Larson texted me a couple weeks ago. He was listening to the revisited episode of Seeking Justice while watching.
Okay, great. Like, that's how you do
he's
it.
Like, he's like, I can't believe that I'm like maybe the only person in the world who's seen this movie twice. I'm like, hey, man, welcome to the club. Like, we've all seen it twice, too. Because he did it. That was the one yep. where, like, that was his first Cage's first VOD movie.
Right.
And you and I were like, hey, we love this. And he's yeah. like, this isn't good. We're like, no, this is pretty good.
The Hungry Rabbit jumps. It's still jumping.
Yep.
We did that live, too. We did that here.
We sure did. We have that picture of the three of us, me and my Cage t-shirt.
I think that's the last time I've seen Larson in person.
Over here.
All right.
I've seen him a couple times since. He's getting married. He's engaged.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's an engaged gentleman. A lot of interesting framing shots, mm-hmm. which I appreciate.
He's looking a little worried here. Where's my Kong? What happened?
Oh, boy. Cage.
Good line.
Sees him all beat up and yells at him before he's concerned, you know?
Yeah, what happened to your face isn't his primary concern. He's got quite a pad.
Kong basically saying, you should see the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Does he own this place or is he renting this place?
I think he's house-sitting.
Okay.
Because, who knows, he might even have timed it so that he knew these people were going on vacation and so that he could just sort of like Ooh. Beverly Hills Cop to it and just like move into this house while no one's there.
Ooh.
Have you seen those? The Beverly Hills Cop movies?
No.
So they're great.
So right now I'm in the midst of catching up on the last
yes, like, I've seen it.
25 years of comedy. The next list I'm going to do is I have my same group of friends give me some more comedies, but also some action movies. So maybe I'll add the Beverly Hills Cop to those, too. But last night I watched Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which I didn't love.
It's okay.
It seems like it's just very mopey. Like,
yeah,
I get,
yeah.
It just...
It's a little depressing.
It's also really hard to follow up Step Brothers, because Step Brothers is like...
Oh, man.
Like, I had no idea how much I was going to like that movie.
Catalina fucking wine mixer.
Like, a lot of these movies, a lot of these like, Apatow movies, like, become, like, really... Not that that's, like, a, you know, he didn't write or direct that. He just produced or whatever. No. Like, or, no, maybe he wasn't even involved, because that's the McKay... I don't know, whatever. But a lot of the movies I've been watching, the Apatow movies, where, like, they get, like, really somber in the second half. Like, it sort of becomes about, like, learning life
lessons real.
And whatever. That's just, like... Like, there's a little bit of a conflict, but it's just, like, straight jokes, like,
yes.
the entire way through.
It's just stupidity, and I loved it.
But it's so good. It's so good. I'm like Adam Scott and Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn, oh my god.
And we've got Dr. Angel Face. Andrea Savage as the psychiatrist. She's amazing. I didn't recognize him the look, but by his voice, like Horatio Sands is the uh-huh. lead singer of the cover band or the tribute band. Hey man, we don't play that shit.
Yeah. They only play a certain years of
certain Billy Joel years, yeah.
And Jenkins, right? Wants to be a T-Rex.
Yeah, and Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, man, she's great
I'm in
it.
Love with. So, everything. I mean, it's just, it's wonderful. But I've got five more on that list. Tonight's movie is going to be Pineapple Express.
Okay. I saw, is the other guys on your list? I'm going to rewatch.
Is.
I might rewatch that tonight. I saw that in theaters. I like that one.
What are the last five I have? I have Pineapple Express, Wanderlust, The Other Guys, I Love You, Man, something.
Okay.
But my favorites so far were Step Brothers. This movie, The Baxter.
Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
I heard of that a long time ago. That's like 20 years old, right? 15,
no, it's like 05-ish, so, you know, okay. Like maybe 13. I guess it is a while ago. But yeah.
I remember Ebert reviewing it on TV, so.
What else have I really liked? Oh,
that's the Showalter movie.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
The South Park movie is great.
Oh, man.
The Team America movie is great.
Blame Canada. Team America.
Yeah, I was worried about this because a lot of it didn't feel like my kind of comedy. And I was like, no, wait, a lot. It started off rough because I watched the first Ace Ventura, which I didn't love. And I watched Kingpin, which I didn't love. Mm-hmm. And I watched like Something About Mary, which is fine. But like, I don't like the Farrelly Brothers gross out humor.
No, me neither.
And then we got into like this era. And then 4-year-old version, I was like, well, I didn't really love that. And like, I was worried. But then like, it got to this point where I was just like, oh, like Knocked Up is really good.
Superbad.
Superbad's great.
Oh, what was one? There was one on my mind. You were... Oh, man.
I can look it up.
Skip my mind. But while you were listing off movies, something...
One that I've seen or one that you thought I should see?
I think it's one that I think you should see.
Let me see here.
Not your boss, I'm your teacher. Why don't you go stand on something weird? Shooting fruit, is that one?
Cage shoots fruit. No, sorry, that's me Cage shooting fruit, not Kong shooting fruit.
Oh.
So I watched Ace Ventura, didn't really like
oh,
that.
Oh, okay, so Ace Ventura 2 is the superior one.
That's on the next list.
Okay, okay, that's what I was thinking of.
Kingpin, didn't really like.
No, I didn't
Something
like
About Mary.
Yeah.
I like a lot of it. But I don't love it as a movie.
Is
South
it,
Park is really great.
7 minute abs. I think that was my favorite part of it.
Yeah, but what about like 6 minute abs?
No, man. Seven.
It's the seventh minute.
South
Park is great.
Training
Super
montage.
Troopers, I did not get through.
I'm not a fan of that at all.
Team America's great. 4 Year Old Virgin's fine. Baxter's great. Knocked Up is really good. Superbad's great. Step Brothers is great. Sarah Marshall is, you know,
it's
pretty
okay.
The puppet show at the end of Sarah Marshall is amazing. Like the Dracula.
Oh yeah, that's how we got the Muppet movie. That's
really?
That's what I heard is that they saw that he was like, "Look, I'm great with puppets," and they're
it
like,
"It just felt like
give
to me like
shot.
He wanted to make a movie. He's like, "Hey, look at a movie where Kristen Bell and Mila Kunis are both in love with me." So the last six on my list are Pineapple Express, Tropic Thunder, I Love You Man, The Other Guys, Hot Tub Time Machine, and Wanderlust.
Okay.
And what's the?
I don't know if those are all essential, but some of those are.
No, it's just a list of like the similar kinds of movies. You know what I mean?
Get it? Yeah.
And then comedies for the next. Oh, here's the next list. These are all movies I haven't
look
seen.
Look at Cage here. Damn. Sorry to interrupt your.
No, it's fine.
List for the movie or anything, but
a woman gets attacked. Didn't happen. She thought she got attacked.
Cage hiding. Okay, so
Animal House.
Okay.
First Blood.
First Blood. We're going off of comedies. Okay.
It's both. It's comedy and action. It's
okay,
I'm just watching them in order they came out. So Animal House, First Blood, Commando, Rambo,
nudity.
First Blood Part 2.
Hold on, nudity.
I don't have nudity on mine. Damn.
Okay, so far these are all like movies I grew up with.
Rambo 3, Kickboxer.
Oh, Rambo 3.
Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, I haven't seen
Unforgiven,
that.
Unforgiven.
Oh, I love it.
Universal Soldier.
Oh, the
Wayne's
first one.
World.
Oh, Wayne. You haven't seen Wayne's World? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, man.
Falling
so
Down.
So much of like Wayne's World, like, is what I'm about. Gotta watch Wayne's World.
Falling Down, Tombstone,
Falling
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, Broken Arrow.
Oh, you don't see Broken Arrow.
Orgasmo.
Okay,
Super
I
Troopers.
Like Orgasmo.
No, Starship Troopers, sorry.
Starship Troopers. You haven't seen Starship Troopers?
Basketball.
Oh, I'm a big fan of basketball, but I remember watching it with my friends when it came out, and everyone hated it. I was like, we are not turning this off. We are getting to the end of this. I like this movie.
Caged drowning a guy underwater.
Crazy.
The Wedding Singer, which I think might be the only Adam Sandler movie from before a couple years ago that
I'm
I haven't
seen. I'm not a fan, but people
Black
love
Hawk
it.
Down. It's like, so what happened was I had my one friend who loves
love
a lot
it.
Of action movies, like kept recommending them, and I saw like 90% of them. He just kept going and sort of got to this like second or third tier where I was just like, okay, like these don't seem essential, but whatever. Count of Monte Cristo, the remake.
Wait, with Leonardo DiCaprio?
2002, I guess. I don't know.
I never saw that one.
Basic?
I don't know about that. Oh, that sounds familiar, but not familiar enough that you need to see it.
Yeah, Open Range.
Cage meditating underwater as he's strangling someone to death.
And then the last four, The Hunted, Grandma's Water. Boy, The New Rambo, and The Gray.
You haven't seen... I like Grandma's Boy is another one of those situations where I think I forced people to sit through that movie. I liked it, but people around me were just like, this is the worst. It's like, no, it's not. That was a very interesting hit scene there. That whole
he drowns the guy underwater?
Yeah.
Love it.
Sneaking around the backyard. I'm one away. If we see if I spy a helicopter, I'm gonna win this bitch.
Are you one block away?
I'm a block away.
Damn.
I am Bruce Willis and most deaf in that movie, but I'm only one block instead of
16 blocks?
16 blocks. I would love to do this with Cage in the morning. Just work out in the garden, in the backyard, with no socks on or anything.
I Again, he has not eaten yet, I don't think, in this movie.
If it turns out he's a... like a cyborg. He would play a good... I mean, I guess we're going to get it. I don't know. From what I've heard, I've tried not to read as much as like I can about it, but from what I hear, Mandy will finally get sort of like a Terminator cage of some kind, but like
that's cool.
That's sort of like a mode I want to see him in, just like, I guess we get him a little bit like that in Drive Angry, but the movie is just so goofy.
Yep. Look at Cage there, not to interrupt you, but no, Cage, no. Like, you know, fighting him, not even looking at what he's doing, he's just like, it's just so ingrained in him, he's able to defend himself or whatever.
All the reflexes.
What did I just watch Terminator? Oh, Tonight She Comes is sort of Terminator-y.
Okay.
A little bit.
This is a bit... this might be a bit of a dramatic tonal shift where it starts to get sort of like court... he's trying to court the girl or something.
All right.
It's getting a little goofy.
Cage, pop that in your mouth. Eat a cage.
Oh, came so close, too. Come on, you've eaten a cockroach before. I want to watch that again soon. Did we discuss if we were going to rewatch, like, double rewatch some movies at some point?
I brought it up, and we weren't sure, but, like, if somebody comes over, like, hey, I really want to see...
yeah,
Vampire's Kiss or whatever, be like, all right, we'll revisit the revisit. If somebody comes over and says, like, they want to rewatch, like, some bullshit that we've already watched, like,
yeah,
that's... we might veto that, but I don't know that anybody actually would. Mm-hmm. And also, if anybody that we know really wants to watch a Cage movie with us, like, we can have it done. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, I remember you offered to Austin when he was, because he's kind of close by, but did you ever watch any of his stand-up?
No, you told me about that on his website.
You have to, yeah. So, like, if anyone out there is listening to this, go check out our... we had him on for... watch the
15
Throne,
minutes.
Right? Well, 15 minutes, yeah.
Austin Wolf Southern.
Yeah, so just... type that into YouTube or go to his Letterboxd. He has links, but he has this joke about The Purge that I'm still laughing about. His Purge material is hilarious, so he's got, like, good movie joke material.
Cage.
He's eating.
I'm going to win if he laughs maniacally or there's magic mysticism. Oh, right, it's a super, super hot. I forgot.
Oh, nice.
Cage freaks out. I'm going to cross that off because he is sweating and freaking out a little bit. So here's the thing, Mike.
Yeah.
Spoiler for the end of the movie. If you don't win by the end, when Cage dies, I'm going to get bingo.
What do you mean?
If Cage dies in the corner, I'm going to get 5 in a row.
Oh, I see. I have to beat you to the...
it's a race now, because I'm for sure going to win. It's just a matter of whether we can win before the end of the movie.
There's so much water, yet there's no beach. Isn't that amazing? Where's the beach? What is that dish?
I don't know, something more spicy there. It's another spicy thing, though.
Like, we're in a romantic... this is your favorite Cage, I feel like.
This should be
the whole movie.
This is actually... it could happen to you, because they eat by the water in that movie, too.
It's true.
And she's... I mean, she's no Bridget Fonda, but she's also charming and adorable.
But he's not exactly who he was in that movie. He's not a cop, right? He's the opposite of being a cop in this movie.
Is that mysticism? Even these leaves
to
pull down?
No, I don't know. I mean,
I won't push it because that would actually get me the win. So.
I think if, like, they were warding off evil spirits with them.
All right, that's fair.
Like, we'll give it that far. Like, I don't think a ghost needs to appear, or he doesn't have to go full Doctor Strange on us or anything. Which I was thinking, he would have been an amazing I know, like,
Cumberbatch is great.
He's
yeah.
amazing, but, like, Cage basically played that role already in the Sorcerer's Apprentice. Like, he is pretty
yeah.
much doing the same, like, big deal. I could do that. Like
the sarcastic magic
yes.
magician?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really liking, like, this part of the movie. Like, this is... it's interesting how they're able to... I mean, maybe it wasn't such a dramatic tonal shift. Now they've really eased into it, and now they're cutting back and forth between it. It's cool how it's working.
Well, I think it's also showing, like what you were saying before, that he wants, like, this is his last job. He wants to retire, and he's trying to find, like, a new replacement and a new life for himself. So maybe,
yeah,
maybe this is both things.
Maybe he shouldn't be doing all this at once, though. Like, I think, like, he's doing his hit, he's training a guy, and he's setting up the next part of his life. Like, concentrate, you know, multitasking a few too many things.
Well, he's got his four rules, you know.
He's breaking them all.
He's breaking all the rules.
Rules are, there ain't no rules. Now they're really giving it to that watermelon.
Super cool.
That's like the equivalent of the scene in Spider-Man 3 where Peter Parker's watching Mary Jane perform, where they just pan to him and he's just got this goofy-looking grin on his face, like, that's my girl. Spider-Man 3, which nobody has signed up for yet. No one. I might do that. It might be a solo
episode. An hour-long rant about that movie.
I remember seeing that in theaters, and some guy behind me was with his kids, and his phone rang, and he answered it, and I was like, I don't even care. I'm just going to let him in. I'm going to know what's going on with this guy's call more than Spider-Man 3. He's like, yeah, man, what's up? I'm just in Spider-Man 3. Now I can talk.
Oh, man. My friend was asking me about... What was he asking me about this week? He was asking about Marvel movies or something. And then we started talking about the Spider-Man. I don't remember how it came about. But then I was like, you know, I like the first two Sam Raimi ones, and I like the first Andrew Garfield one. Okay. And then I like the new one. I'm like, but the new one's not even like in my top 5 or 10 Marvel
movies. Yeah.
But that's not even just top 5 or 10 Marvel. It's a top 5 or 10 MCU. Like, if I add in the Spider-Man movies, or
Ghost Rider,
or whatever, like, it's going to go way down. There's just been... Because there's been, like, 20 MCU movies. A lot.
Yeah.
There's another, like, you know, 8 or 10 planned, too, I think, so.
Yeah, like, the MCU proper, like, the one that's got, like, what, 18 films deep, or whatever, like you said, like, that is sort of the core, I feel like. The other ones, like, Ghost Rider and stuff, like, I haven't ranked those in my list of Marvel movies.
Punisher.
But I guess, right, there's 3 Punisher movies.
Warzone's awesome.
I quite like the Thomas Jane one as just like a stupid good bad, like,
that's
it's
Warzone,
almost like
right?
a
Warzone?
No, no, that's the other one. That's the one.
Wait, who's in Warzone?
That's the Lexi Alexander one. That's the one with Ray. I want to say he's the guy who ended up playing Thor's fat redhead friend, and he was in that show Rome.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Because the first one, there's the Dolph Lundgren one.
Yeah, yeah, there's that with Lou Gossett Jr. Then the second one with Thomas Jane, which is a riot. That's the one with Travolta. It's amazing. It's like a canon film.
Oh, Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson, that's it, yeah. So Ray Stevenson was Punisher Warzone. And then now we have the new guy on, Shane doing it now.
Yeah, what's his name? From Wolf of Wall Street, from Fury?
Berenthal.
John Berenthal. Yeah.
Who's great? One of my favorite actors at the moment.
I like him, too. I don't know why I couldn't place him. Jessica Jones season 2 just came out. I'm so far behind.
I don't watch any
series.
Of the... Unfortunately, after Daredevil season 1, I wasn't able to, like, get into... I got halfway through Jessica Jones season 2, but then I was like, I'm just going to follow the movies. I was like, I don't even read this many comics when I was into my comics. Like, I was about into, like, 4 or 5... books, so like I can't follow everything going on.
But if you do like Daredevil, come back in April where the Billy Club podcast is going to launch.
I love that logo too. Like, I can't.
It's going to change too, so it's going to be super cool. An ever evolving logo.
Well, I know I definitely got theme for season 2 of Third Time's a Charm, so I think my logo might have to represent that.
There you go, that's cool.
Shift it up. This guy's pretty cool. He's kind of got like a Super Saiyan look happening.
The blonde hair.
Yeah, and then mixed with like some kind of businessman. But it kind of reminds me of DK's friend in Tokyo Drift a little. Mm-hmm. That guy's full on Super Saiyan. Like, he is so... He's like Vegeta. He's so hyper in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Tokyo Drift is so good. What season is that going to be for your show?
Well, it's hard to say. Not till at least like season 4.
Oh, so like, okay, we're like late.
So I'm hoping to time it with my lap so that we could do a crossover. Like, that would be cool. But we'll see.
So your lap, yeah, because that your lap would be...
Because both shows are once a month, so...
Yeah. And your lap would be basically... So this lap is going to end... So, lap 2 starts August. September, October, November, December, January, February, March. So, your lap's going to begin April 2019. So then Tokyo Drift would be like June 2019.
All right. I have to...
I think, roughly.
Work it out.
I think.
So, but I mean, we'll get to it eventually, and yeah, you guys will be the guests somehow.
We have exciting news to announce that the first episode of Lap 2 is going to feature Tobin and Aislinn Addington.
Oh, man.
Talking about how much Aislinn loves...
From the Wonder Woman episode.
Yes. I'm excited to have that.
That's an interesting look. The helmet with the suit and tie. Oh, here we go. This is real courtship stuff.
Definitely.
Real respectful visiting the...
I don't remember this at all. But I love it. I can see why people wouldn't like this movie, because it is very sort of slow and weird and quiet, and, you know, there is action, but it's not enough to, like, sustain an action movie, but it's this... It's not even like... It's almost more like a spy movie, but it's not really doing spy work. It's just sort of paced like a spy movie.
Yeah, it feels more what, like, real... I mean, I don't know what real assassins, how they live. I mean, for all I know, they could be, like, Killmonger, right? But, like, it feels more like what it would be like where there's, like, downtime.
Yeah.
And you gotta, like, find stuff to do, and, like, you get injured, and, like... Yeah, and it would be slower, and it's not all action hits. I love those movies, you know. If you look at, like, Haywire, right? Like, I feel like that's a great action spy thriller with, like, good amounts of action and spy stuff. This leans more heavily towards spy and then sort of relationship drama, and then you get, like, action killer stuff.
Yep. But I do like this movie. Was this one that they played at Caged 4?
Yes. Right? Yeah. He said he wanted to... Oh, yeah, because I asked him if he said anything about any movies, and I think he just came up and said he wanted to show this.
Oh, it's Caged 3. No, Caged 4?
The girl...
No, it's Caged 4.
The one where Cage
was
there.
Yeah.
Because the
girl he was C4 Jed.
Was from Bangkok or something. Yes. He wanted to show, like, he did a movie there.
He's like, I really want to go to Bangkok, so I made this movie. It's just like, no, okay.
But again, I think there was... I mean, there's the original, like, it's not extremely well-known, but in its circle, I feel like it's got a great reputation, and so when it was being remade, I think it got sort of lumped in with a lot of other remakes happening. Like, it was such, like, a culture of remakes that the... I mean, there still is, don't get me wrong, but it was really... I feel like it was ramping up around this time, and this kind of got lumped in with, oh, another remake? Like... You know, it can't possibly be good because it's a remake. I used to have that mentality too, but, you know, you got to drop that and just try and judge it on its own.
Live your best life, man. I have one column on my bingo card that has nothing checked off.
Oh, I have a crosswords one. Unless that was an awkward sex scene.
No.
Then
I don't think so. Oh,
oh, here we go.
Open going upside down. What I do like, what we didn't talk about in the last scene was he learned that the girl he's in love with. Her name means rain. He can now say her name in sign language. Sort of like you're baking bread, kind of. You're like pinching the dough.
Now we can all say that in sign language.
Elephant upside down.
It's a good thing it was raining outside so he could put that together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, is the elephant upside down so he can forget? I don't...
No, it's because I think his life is turning around now. It's good luck.
Oh, look, a real elephant.
There was an elephant earlier, too. This is a very...
I feel like he's seen elephants before. Was there one at the bottom? I mean, call me crazy, but I know I mentioned Next earlier, but there wasn't an elephant at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, was there?
Pretty sure that's not the case.
Okay. We should do something with Cage and animals. There should be, like, Cage rides an animal, Cage looks at an animal, like, Cage identifies with an animal.
Cage plus animal, ? I'm gonna write down.
Lots of interesting words in this movie. Damperon Sioux, Retromary, or whatever.
Kong laughingly is burning the picture, but Cage knows better. He's been here before. He knows what to do. He doesn't leave no evidence.
He's got a photographic memory of the photographs.
Memorize the face. Be done with
it. Oh, so this is going to be an action scene. This is the boat sequence. This is probably, like, the biggest action scene in the movie, I think.
Is it?
I feel like it's the most like interesting and complex one. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I loved him drowning the dude underwater. That was awesome.
Yep.
That showed his brutality.
Yep.
But this, things go wrong and he has to improvise. Oh, get ready to mark off. Cage starts running.
I don't have that.
Oh,
we had that before. He was working out. Remember, he was running before.
Oh, that's right. Well, he'll be running again.
Have you seen this movie more than once? You've only seen this movie once.
I've seen it only once.
Yeah, you have a good memory for this movie.
I liked it. I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean, I was of the mentality of, like, oh, it's a remake of this good movie. It can't possibly have any merit, but at least it's got Cage. And then I was totally I like it as its own thing.
He looks kind of like Vince Neil.
Oh, right, with the cowboy hat, with the white hat.
Yeah.
Is he in disguise? I don't think I have him. I don't have the disguise thing, but... Yeah, he seems to be kind of, like, touristy.
So he's got... That's his target there, the guy in blue?
Yes, as his camera would say.
See.
Like the reflective... He's got the aviator shades.
Yeah, man, this is tense. Very quiet, very... tranquil scene about to get blown up.
I also feel like the setting is unusual. You don't see this type of
boat,
like,
stuff.
Yeah, it's almost like Venice or something.
Yeah.
Oh no, lady.
Damn it, lady.
The merchant is screwing it up. Uh-oh. You lost your window. Come on, you hesitated. That's a rule, isn't it? Never hesitate?
I don't know. Damn it.
So now or never, dude. You know it.
Oh, I remember this now. I remember this now.
There's a really great shot at the end of the sequence, looking up at him.
Yes. Not a sort of remember the...
You know? I know what I'm thinking, looking at this, like, beautiful scenery setting with the water and the boats. Like, I mean, when the sea level rises, like, this is what most places, it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, but I'm not... But this was built around the water. It's not like the water just, like, yeah.
There will
be beauty. It just will, like, decimate the entire first floor of everywhere that the water is.
It's also remarkable that, like... They never saw something like this coming. Like, so there's going to be a boat chase here one day, and so we should tie these down somehow, or think of a system. Like, all these guys, like, fruit boats are getting knocked over, and the wake is splashing into people's homes.
Well, I think you kind of have to operate on the assumption that people aren't going to be assholes, but maybe not.
Yeah, I suppose there aren't.
You know, they always say
planning hits everywhere.
Owning a boat in Bangkok can be dangerous.
I mean, even if they're in the same scene, like, man, what you just did was dangerous, period. Like, don't do something like that in Bangkok next time.
But I don't think anybody has said the word Bangkok or dangerous yet, so...
Whoa. That was nice.
This guy's now working double duty. He's got to steer the boat and shoot a cage. Now that his partner either bailed or fell out? Unclear what happened there.
It looked like he... bailed out of fear.
I think so too.
It's kind of interesting that when you get the same guys remaking their movie, but doing it like very differently, because you got
the budget was probably higher for this one, right? Or no? Do you think?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know what how it works over there when you're actually making a movie in Bangkok from Bangkok. And. And then when you come back with, like, a whole American crew to remake that movie. But it's not like Funny Games, where the guy, like, remade it shot for shot, apparently.
Ugh.
Like, this is a very different take on the same material, which is why I feel like it works, because it's not just, like, Psycho. It's not like Gus Van Sant just shot for shot remaking someone else's movie, even. It's pretty cool.
I do want to point out that Cage just stole a motorcycle from a guy.
Yeah.
Like, the silencer in his face.
Ooh, he just shut that guy's hat off.
Oh.
I totally forgot he's on the bike here. So Ghost Rider.
I remember this. I don't remember the action scene until I remembered, like, until this went to my brain. Yeah.
Nice.
Jumping off the motorcycle, which just exploded into the boat.
He had to have broken a rib there. because he landed halfway in.
Roundhouse kick to the guy's stomach.
Oh, he's going to kill him with the... Chops his arm off with the freaking motor.
That's
the
awesome
shot I was thinking of here. Damn, that looks good. Well, I mean, it looks very realistic.
It also looks good. I know where you're coming from.
Oh, so earlier before when you were talking about how your buddy's movie made you want to vomit three times or whatever, like you got sick.
That's super cool.
Yeah, the bullet holes going through the boat.
John Wick-y.
He's got a John Wick look. I could see him going up against John Wick in the like this character.
I'm pretty sure John Wick would kick this guy's ass.
Yeah, he might at this point. Yeah. It looks like he's, very old. Anyway, but like, okay, so the one movie I watched last year, I literally had to pause it because the blood drained from my body and I got pale and lightheaded was the Stephen King movie where the lady is...
Gerald's Game.
Oh, my God.
Oh, where she's trying... Like,
where she has to get out of the handcuff. Oof.
Good old Carla Gugino.
But, like, I never really had... Like, I tried to watch Irreversible once or twice and just turned it off because it's like, I just don't have any interest in, like, an hour and a half of this. But, like, that came out a moment in the movie, you know? Like, it's the climax almost.
Yes.
And I was, like, very invested in her character, and I was like, oh, I'm going to be sick. And I literally turned the movie off and, like, laid down on the floor for a little while and then, like, put the movie back on.
Well, there's a couple movies that, like, every year at Fantastic Fest, there seems to be, like, one or two that, like, people walk out of, like... It wasn't a Fantastic Fest, but the one that I saw at Fantastic Fest that had happened elsewhere, when people saw Raw, they passed out.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah. I mean, because if you...
It suggests a lot.
If you see that, well, I mean, there's also... I mean, she eats a lot of flesh in that one. If you see that, like, at a regular film festival, though, and you're not there for to see horror movies, and you see that, like, it's a coming-of-age movie,
yeah,
a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this year, the one that... They had to pause the screening because the person in the other theater passed out was Revenge, which was like my second favorite movie from last year.
Still waiting on that one, yeah.
Which rules.
Look how beautiful that shot is. That makes me... This scene makes me want to visit Bangkok.
Yeah. Pull a Joe 2 and just go to Tokyo.
So look, like the golden shimmer reminds me of Next Again because he's supposed to play like the golden man or something in that.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say plan a trip with Joe 2 or something?
No, I said just pull a Joe 2 and
and do the Bangkok Dangerous Tour.
Yeah.
Go to that river street and...
Go to the shrine,
visit where they...
Is this magic and or mysticism?
I don't want to refer to this as mysticism.
It's religion and spirituality.
Yeah, religion and spirituality.
But then I think my friend was saying that, like, Tonight She Comes has made people pass out or leave theaters or something, so that's for sure... Okay. And then Gerald's Game, I think the same thing might have happened. That, like, I don't know if it's at Fantastic Fest or elsewhere, because that showed at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
They showed that and 1922 there, both.
I would never walk out, but if I was watching that in theaters, I definitely would be closing my eyes and turning my head away. And I do not find myself like that kind of guy, like the person that can't take a visual horror or whatever. Like, I've seen a lot of stuff on movies, so. For that, I don't know.
Yep.
I think it's just a testament to the writing, too, though, that how invested with her I was. I just didn't want that happening to her.
Right.
Per se, like that character. Because you see guys get, like, shot to shit in RoboCop, and it's just, like, it's gruesome,
right.
And it's, like, whatever, though, because...
Well, the things that made me want to vomit in Tonight She Comes are either blood or body-related, which I think is always, like, the...
Yeah, the Cronenberg edge.
Like, the last movie that really affected me that way was... Inside, that French horror movie about the pregnant woman.
Oh, I didn't see it. I don't even think I heard of it.
I think I blocked out most of it because of PTSD, but, like, there's some graphic, like, I think, like, self-abortion sort of, like...
Oh, that, like, reminds me of, like, of that movie we watched. Was it Necrophilia? Not that Nymphomaniac. Oh, God. You see where my head... Oh, man, talking about...
There's another abortion
stuff.
Scene, but not a self-abortion scene, in the movie The Tribe.
Oh, yeah, I still want to get... That's the silent film,
Oof.
Right? Speaking
yeah,
of
speaking
deaf
of subtitles
people.
And speaking of, you know, sign language. A movie with no subtitles.
Oh, I am happy together with you. And then now he's going to commit brutal murder. Watch this. This is amazing. And then because she's deaf, she can't hear any of that.
Yep.
He just takes out these two guys, and she's going to just turn around and see it. It's crazy. Like, I never, I'm always trying to get scared to watching movies. Like, I'm upset at times that scary movies don't scare me more. Like, for the longest time, Mulholland Drive, I could always rely on that for whatever reason. The mood, the tone, the everything about it just creeps me out.
Winkies.
It scares me, man. That especially, yeah. But I saw two movies last year that affected me. Lake Mungo, which I think
it's a Chris Mattiello recommendation.
Yeah, which I loved. Like, I was like, this isn't going to work up. And then I was just like, holy shit. There's a turn in that movie that really brought the goosebumps. And then I rewatched The Witch. I rewatched that last year. And in theaters, I thought it was great and everything, but I wasn't scared. But watching it alone at home, I got, like, the shit scared out of me watching that movie. So I guess happy to say that, you know, there's stuff around more recently that's working on me.
That can still fuck you up. That's the thing. Like, the more movies you watch, the more horror you're into, the more you can sort of dismiss as like, oh, I've seen this before, I've seen this better, or whatever. But it's hard for things to really, truly affect you. Mm. When it does, man, it's just like, whew. And then if that happens to us, like, what does that mean for, like, people who don't watch that kind
yes.
of thing?
Yes, yeah, that's what I think about a lot, too, is, like, man, if I wasn't me, like, this would probably be working so much better. Yeah, I think when I saw The Witch in theaters, two people in front of me got up and left. I was like, I understand that. Like, I get that. Like, I remember when I went to go see that Sam Raimi. By the way, Sam Raimi, where are you? Make more horror movies. I mean, I like the Evil Dead show. It's a lot of fun. But the one with the girl, Drag Me to Hell?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I went to see Drag Me to Hell, it was like really late at night, and the theater was just packed. And during the scene in the parking garage when the gypsy lady attacks the girl in the car and everything, the girl in front of me jumped out of her seat, threw up her arms, and said, "I am done," and just stormed out of the movie. Her friends, like, looked around in disbelief. I started laughing my ass off. I need more moments like that when I go to the movies. Movies just haven't been crowded recently when I go.
Yeah, Black Panther was packed, but everything else I've seen has not been very crowded. People didn't walk out when I saw Mother, but people wanted to walk out when I saw Mother.
Oh, someone did. Actually, I think I caught someone walking out during the end of Mother. Like, not. It was, like, close to the end, though. I was like, why are you walking out now? It's, like, almost over. Don't you want to see if it, like, redeems itself in your eyes? Meanwhile,
reaction
I'm, like,
rules.
Yesterday I had like, my handyman over, and I was like, don't lean on the sink, because it's not braced, and so it makes me think of Mother.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence just freaking out about people just on the wrong things. People just rude in general.
Mm-hmm.
Captured perfectly.
Tell you to see me.
By Mother. We can endorse Mother. Tobin hates Mother.
Yeah, well,
I was pleasantly surprised, like, to see that he loved Greatest Showman.
Oh, yeah, I want to check that out. I've wanted to see that, but it was like, I'm not going to get to this in the movies.
It's on Blu-ray April 10th, so that's when our Zack Attack episode for that is going to come out. With special guest Jordan Poland Clark, who's never been on one of our Joe 2 Track podcasts.
Now, as resident historian, I'm going to let this one fly, because thematically, Jordan will have way more to talk
about. True, yeah.
You know?
As we're recording this, the episode of Disaster Artist comes out on Tuesday.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi, Mark. And that is a very long episode. And one, surprisingly, that all three of us were very tough on.
Who's your guest on there?
Chris Mattiello.
Okay. I've seen that movie three times now. Once in theaters and then twice at home. And by the third time, I was like, all right, I think I'm good. I don't know if I need to watch this again, but I think my favorite screening was the second time. I really got the most out of it.
I saw it in theaters, and I thought it was fine, but people were laughing at things I thought were sort of sad and depressing, like what it was supposed to be. Then I watched it again, and I was just like, eh.
when I went to see it again, there was like three people there, and I saw it in IMAX.
Which is, why is that movie in IMAX? That's crazy.
It was like the, I think it was just at the time, it was the only time I wanted to see it at, but yeah, that
like,
was
why
hilarious.
Did they shoot
that
it in IMAX?
I don't know, I think, I don't think it was shot in IMAX, I think it was just distributed in IMAX, and I think it was as a joke, because it's like the least IMAX movie, and it's like a such a Tommy Wiseau move, like, do an IMAX movie. It's so big, my face is huge. But yeah, so there was like me and like three other guys, like men my age there. So like we were all on the same level basically with the movie. Like it felt like I was just watching it with friends I didn't know. So no one was really laughing at any like wrong. I don't feel like they got the wrong message from it.
Right.
So I think I had like a really one of the more positive screening experiences with that.
So you saw it twice in theaters? You saw
no,
once?
And then I saw it twice at home.
Gotcha, okay.
And the second when I watched it at home the second time, I was like, this movie I'm going to watch so many times. And then the third time, I was like, I think I'm good.
Not to spoil our episode, I mean, this episode will release after that came out, so go listen to Zack Attack if you haven't heard that yet.
But to spoil our Bangkok Dangerous episode, talk about other movies.
But, like, we just don't know what the point of the movie is. Like, why did you make the movie? Like, why make the movie? Why make
Zetra? I think Franco sees himself like to a degree misunderstood, and sees Tommy as a conduit to express himself. Like that's really all I see. And then the other end of it being a movie about filmmaking, which I think is like a really great sort of subgenre of a lot of genres, and it's pretty successful just like that. But I think Ed Wood
now,
did you read
the book?
No, I didn't read the book.
I think if you read the book, you would like the movie less from jump, because the movie is so condensed, and the book is so much woman is attacked, cross it off.
Oh, no.
The movie is just, like, it has to be. It can't be the book, because the book basically tells two stories. It tells the making of the room in every other chapter, and then every other chapter it alternates with the story of Greg and Tommy meeting and becoming friends, and then sort of, like, maybe falling out of friendship.
Right.
And so it's like these two narratives that intersect and you know, all this different stuff. And the movie can't do that, and it's just sort of, like, really condenses the timeline, and it just feels like the book opened up this world into what it was like to make the worst movie ever made, or what people say is the worst movie ever made. But the movie about the book, about the movie, it's like, yeah, but okay, so like what's the point? Like what are you trying to accomplish here other than to just say like, hey, we can remake this because we can. You know what I mean?
Yeah, part of it felt kind of like they didn't even need to be making a movie. It just could have been like these misfits getting together to do anything. And then another part of it kind of felt like I've seen this movie a lot, just not with the Tommy Wiseau character, you know? So it's like, what happens if you insert this variable into, you know, like that premise, right? So it's like the premise is we're making a movie, but the variable is like the director's insane instead of like, you know, this is all going to go well or whatever. I think, you know, we will not watch a bunch of Woody Allen movies that are about like productions gone wrong and things like that. But he's very interested in that topic too. Is like what happens when there's sort of like the set gets out of control and mayhem ensues? Like, can you salvage a production? Like, what happens between relationships and things? But you're right. It just feels like they pulled a lot of punches, right? Like it just felt kind of like they went for the laugh instead of the cry
right.
a lot of the times.
And it's a depressing story because he's a tragic figure. You know what I think I would have liked is if they did essentially like a Lost Soul, the Doom story of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau, like if they did a doc or like Yodorovsky's Doom, where it's like a movie about the movie, like a documentary about the movie. Because apparently, I mean, they have the footage that Tommy had that guy shoot.
Yeah.
And you have
where's that?
You
movie?
Could have the people talking about it, and you could cut in clips or whatever if you want.
You could do reenactments, even.
Yeah,
you know,
that would have been more interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
As opposed to a fictionalized retelling of the story, and that's a point that we did not make on the podcast. That's a little bit of an addendum. This is a part two to our Disaster Artist episode.
Did you give any recommends, like a real good recommend instead or anything? I would say Ed Wood or even The Player.
Oh, Chris talked about Ed Wood a lot. Because he said like that movie has heart and everything. He really, you know, went to bat for Ed Wood.
The Player's really good. It's got a great Tim Robbins performance And there's lots of interesting cameos and characters throughout that movie, too. But it's about a producer who's sort of being blackmailed. And he tries to, like, get himself out of it by himself. And it's, like, a really interesting sort of noirish thriller.
But, you know, we were talking before about Gerald's Game in 1922, both Stephen King things. Stephen King also wrote 11/22/63 about the JFK assassination.
Oh,
here,
this
King's
is
basically
very
reenacting.
Reminiscent. Yeah, good call, man.
Presidential
this is,
motorcade assassination.
This is very close. I mean, if you believe the Oswald conspiracy and that it wasn't the comedian from Watchmen, as the opening credits of that movie shows.
That said, I am looking forward to the David Lindelof
show. I am so I am pumped for that show, man. Because, like, I like the Watchmen movie. Like, I don't think it's a great movie, but, like, it looks beautiful, and it really has a couple moments. And I think if you just cut it down to the Rorschach investigation, like, that would have been a solid film. But, yeah, I can't wait to see what Lindelof does. Because you know his aesthetic is nothing like Zack Snyder, so we won't get, like, the metal, dark metal costumes yep. and stuff. Everything's going to be, I have a feeling it's going to be more like hints of Batman 66 and stuff.
Although,
like that.
What we do know is that Damon Lindelof is all about showing dong and things, so we're going to get a lot of Manhattan.
It's the perfect material for him, then.
Maybe that's why he signed up.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Well, he is also a bald dude, and Dr. Manhattan's a bald dude, so some kinship there.
Maybe he'll play Dr. Manhattan, is that what you're saying?
Just get basically anybody to play that role. He's mostly like, they CGI'd over.
Shaking. Doesn't want to take the shot. If he doesn't take the shot, I'm going to cross off stutters or hesitates.
Ooh, nice bullet cam. That's really interesting. Oh.
Damn.
All of his hits are coming back. Is that what this is? Is this a flashback?
Yes. So it's definitely a flashback.
Yeah, you know, I think this is the whole movie coming back and flashing before his eyes.
That sort of reminds me of Lord of War, where we follow the bullet in the opening scene, right?
Good call. There's a little bullet motif there. What's going on with
that?
Oh,
but he did take a shot.
Oh, so that was it was like a premonition thing.
Maybe it's like next.
That was a bit of his next power.
I'm going to cross off Cage stutters or hesitates because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's showing that he's not ready to take this shot. Cage really kind of freaking out here.
Okay, so this is the guy who's going to shoot him, right? Oh, there's a bit of a chase, I think.
How much more time do we have in this movie? Like 25 minutes?
A little rooftop action.
23 minutes. A little over 23. Man.
Yeah, it's not that long, but it's feeling a little longer than it is.
Well, it's a very slow movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's anything about this that's bad. I'm just trying to think, you know, what I would give this movie, like, on Letterboxd. I think I gave it... What exists right now on Letterboxd for me is, like, a 3 out of 5, which I'm going to raise that, but I don't know if I'm going to go much higher than, like, a 7 or an 8, like a 3.5 or 4...
No, yeah.
Just because, like, it's good. It's not bad. It's just...
I keep it around, like, a 3, a 3.5, or a 3. I'm leaning around keeping it around. It's a solid 3, though. Like, it's solid. I don't feel like there's anything unnecessary with the story they want to tell.
Cage running again. Running this entire movie, basically. He will run again a lot in 7 years for The Runner.
Oh, that's right. Wait, does he even run in that movie? He runs
he
for office.
No, he runs around Washington, D.C. Right. Remember, like, he always works out in the morning?
Does the Captain America Falcon workout?
Yep.
Running around there.
On your left. On your left.
Love that. Oh, nice. Just swiping stuff. Oh, impromptu disguise.
So he sold a hat, which probably cost the guy, like, you know, $8. He sold the camera, which cost
thousands
of dollars.
Yeah, at least, like, $2,000.
With a killer lens on it. I mean, the lens is probably like $1,000 or more on its own, too. So.
And now he's using it to smash a window.
Man,
he's
oh,
so resourceful.
Red sports car? Just a red car.
That's not a sports car. If that was a red sports car, I may have won.
Damn.
It's not even red, really. I mean, that was more maroon. I mean,
yeah,
that was very dark red. It was like ox blood red. How many passports do you need, man?
Well, he's an international assassin. He needs a bunch.
Oh,
they're
come
in his
to
house.
My home.
This is a real John Wick thing.
Right.
This house actually kind of looks like John Wick's, too.
Mm-hmm. It's very open.
Very modern, very open floor plan.
Very tactical house.
Basically looks identical to the house that I'm buying. Just kidding. My house does not look like
I was just about to go, well, where? Where now?
Oh, you know, that $2 million house that I'm buying.
Oh, yeah. The one up the street in Saddle River, I got you.
This house isn't probably big, it's just like super modern and nice, you know?
And
is
he's
that a paint can bomb?
Home Alone it. Oh my gosh, it is a paint can bomb. And he's got two of them. That's a good move, hiding in the tub.
It's a real Breaking Bad sort of move. Not really.
What, the homemade bomb?
No, bathtub.
Oh.
But that's just... So that is also John Wick. John Wick's house blows up in the second one. So.
Wow.
Spoiler for John Wick,
how much this house blew up. It looks like the house from The Grudge from the outside.
I also just rewatched Upstream Color, where Shane Carruth and Amy Simetz hide out in the bathtub.
Hide out. That's one way of putting it, I guess, right?
Well, they're just... They need to escape the world. Like, they're just trying to, you know...
Get in touch with their inner pig.
I think that's just like they're... Are freaking out, man. Now that guy's got Cage's watch.
What's he doing with his watch?
Don't know.
Because that's like how you know it's him even when he's a stunt double.
Oh, I guess he gave the watch to Kong. Oh,
I
Kong
see.
Whew.
Oh, wait, did he speak in... I thought he had subtitles.
He might have.
He's my student. Yeah, Tina Kong. Kong. I guess he could have just said Kong, and the guy would have gotten the point. But...
Probably. Is that Surat, the blonde guy?
I think it's the other guy.
The other
right?
guy, Surat.
This guy.
He's Surat.
Maybe. He's only one man. Baba Yaga.
Sent two units. They're bringing her down now.
That's perfect.
Cage is praying. Is that magic mysticism? Just kidding.
There's magic in his eyes, though.
So if we get laughs maniacally, magic mysticism, or Cage dies, I win.
Okay, well, you're going to win by the end, but I need a helicopter, which I probably just missed. There's probably been helicopters.
I don't think I've seen a helicopter.
Red sports car. That I win.
We were close, but we didn't get it. Cage.
Oh, the beach. If we get the beach.
It's possible.
I feel like he would have been at the beach by now.
I don't know anything about the geography of Thailand, though. I'm assuming there's beaches. Maybe there's not.
I mean, yeah, if there's... I was about to say, if there's water, there's a beach, but I mean, there's lakes without beaches.
And we also, just so they were by the water before, there was
right,
no beach, too,
right.
So...
Just docks.
Cage driving. This is the second time, at least, he's driven on the right side of the car in this movie, you know...
He drives a lot of vehicles in this. If this was a Too Fast episode, you'd have motorcycles, cars.
No helicopters, though.
No, running on foot. Oh, but one of those weird boats, speedboat.
And the rowboat.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's a real sort of...
The movie is Tokyo Drift. Just kidding, it's not Tokyo Drift.
The thing with the camcorder, the video camera, for some reason the security camera room... Reminded me of a very late episode of Twin Peaks: The Return.
Which one?
The one when the bad Mr. C, that's what they call him, right? The evil Coop. He, like, goes to the warehouse and has the arm wrestling competition.
I forgot about this.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where Cage puts his arms on either side of the guy's head.
Crisscrosses.
Crisscrosses him and shoots the two guys.
And they have, like, that big... like view screen on the wall and everyone's watching what's happening upstairs. It's, I don't know. It's just for some reason, not just because it says Twin Peaks connection on my thing, but I got a vibe there from it.
I mean, also in that, in Twin Peaks, I feel like Robert Nepper and what's his name? Belushi watch screens a lot. You know, trying to figure out what Mr. Jackpots is doing.
Hello. I feel like people have forgotten about Mr. Jackpots too soon.
Like, gone but not forgotten.
Remember. Always remember.
I am the FBI.
Dougie Jones will be home.
Oh boy. I wish that I didn't live in a world where I always wanted to see like all these new things, because I would love to just, you know, watch The Return a couple more times and everything like that, but...
I blame the world for producing so much new stuff I want to see.
So much good stuff, too. Both movies and TV, and, you know, to a different extent or a lesser extent, you know, video games and books, and for sure podcasts. Like, I listen to way too many podcasts, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
It also doesn't help that, like, we literally put out, like, I listen to everything we put out, unless, except for the stuff that I edit, because I've already heard that, you know, I lived it, and I edited it. So I listen to all that, and, like, we have so many things coming out. Check out all of it at cageclub.me/shows. We're up to, like, 18-ish podcasts or something like that, so it's a ridiculous number.
Do you want to host a podcast on the network?
Email us. Mail it at cageclub.me. So this is the final action scene, right? This is him sort of...
Pretty sure we're getting there.
The boss battle, the final level.
Yeah, because this is the longest, like, shootout cat and mouse thing that's happened.
Where are we going to be? I thought the whole thing was bathed in red light, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's just, like, one little scene, or one little location, or one little, like, sort of subplot of this
scene.
Well,
it's very bluish. I mean,
it is blue, but there's a stark red coming up. I don't know if you remember that, but, like, it's, like, bright, bright red. The only reason I remember that is because that was the image that I used, the screen cap that I used for my cover photo when I was doing one per movie.
Oh, is he standing on something strange?
No, he's just in rafters. You're not going to cross that off. He's just higher than everybody else.
Standing on something weird. Wouldn't give me the win or anything, but...
This also reminds me visually of the... Not as dramatically... Or not as, like, stylistically... But,
skull.
Like, at the end of Kick-Ass, when they're in the warehouse, and there's, like, the strobe light.
Oh, yeah, when Cage is strapped to the chair.
Now switch Birdman. To Kryptonite. That's a movie I'm going to look forward to rewatching for this, but... You know, not a lot of Cage, but it's a movie that I like.
Yeah, it's a good
featuring
one.
McLovin himself. I remember, so I saw, of the movie on my list, of the movies on my list, the one that I had seen before was Superbad. I watched that in college, and I didn't like it.
Oh.
And I was sort of worried to rewatch it, because I was like, because everybody loved, like, oh, dude, McLovin is so funny.
I loved it, yeah.
But then I watched it again, and I was like, oh, no, shit, like, it is really funny. Like, it's just so good. And, like, him with Bill Hader and Seth Rogen, just, like, the three of them, like, this, like, mismatched, you know, police trio.
Oh, here's your red.
Here's the red.
Oh, look at him looking through all that.
The bottles?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Oh, gotcha, bitch. Must have taken so long to reset. Take two. Yeah, this is super red.
No, Mike, it's called Super Bad, not Super Red. I guess they're in a water bottling plant. This is what this is?
I think it's just the back room for the restaurant or bar or wherever.
No, because, like, there's... That was, I think, what it was. Because there's... Look at all those water bottles. That's not for one restaurant. I mean, maybe that's what it is.
Well, it seems... Okay,
that
yeah.
shot right
but
there.
But it seems like he's in some kind of abandoned factory, maybe, or some kind of factory that's just closed for the night.
I think it's got to be a water bottling facility, because there are so many bottles of water, unless this is, like...
But if it's a warehouse and they're just storing...
I guess it could be.
I don't know, though. It's hard to tell.
It could be also, like, Breaking Bad, like the methylamine. I don't know, just the one with the B on it.
Go for it. He's just going
He's
for it.
He's trying to do a little sort of John Woo-y. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, totally. Yeah, yeah.
He's done two movies of John Woo. He's got that John Woo influence on him. Sort of that, like, slow-mo, like, pull out from behind his back, two pistol.
Yeah, sort of even...
Closer to Face-Off than Wind Talkers, but...
Yeah, even maybe closer to Matrix.
Now we're orange.
That was almost like I got a very Neo vibe from him.
I think Cage got shot a couple times there, but now we're orange.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter to him. Yeah, it was interesting. We shift from almost like a pinkish red to this reddy orangey red. Really nice how he kicked it into the camera.
Now we're blue.
Blue again.
Well, now we're not with Cage anymore. This is with the
Oh, so you think that represents his rage and how it's getting hotter?
Speaking of rage, come back when we do Rage, a.k.a. Tokarev. When we do Rage, I don't know what we're going to have to do. I guess we're probably going
to...
I don't know.
We're going to have to do both?
No, we're not going to... I don't think
we should watch them
both.
Side by side. I'll get another TV in here or
hook
it up.
Yeah.
And, like, we can start them exactly the same.
Yeah, we could stream one on your computer. And then we could put the other one there.
I say we try that.
So when I bought my new TV, I had to buy a new receiver so I could do 4K pass-through.
Uh-huh.
And my new receiver has dual HDMI out, so I could actually have two... I don't know how it works, but it can, like, sort of send two different signals to two different things. So I could have, essentially, like, you know, the Xbox showing one movie, the PlayStation showing another movie. Not that we would.
No. You don't have to get a new cable box, though, did you?
No.
Just the receiver.
Because cable doesn't really do a lot in 4K. Comcast does some stuff in 4K, but I'm not sure if Optimum does. I don't know if Fios does.
Right.
I'm excited that Fios does.
That was clever. Blew that guy apart and opened
the door. Oh, it just split the guy in half. Like, literally in half at the waist.
Grenade down the pants.
Damn.
Oh, I don't remember that gore. Look at that. He's even breathing his last breath. I don't remember the gore being so well done in this, or even being here.
I mean, I guess, realistically, you wouldn't die necessarily if you have your bottom half blown off, because you have no vital organs down there. Like, your brain is still sending signals, and your heart's still pumping. I mean, you're losing blood rapidly, and all your other bodily...
Got a couple thoughts left, I hear you. You know, maybe Dr. Thackeray could sew you back together.
Unless he, overdoses. Or tries to, you know, doctor, physician, heal thyself. Go check out our... They're still not out yet. I keep thinking that those episodes, we recorded them so long ago, they're still not released by the time that we released this episode.
Oh, wow.
Coming up in April on Cinemakers, The Nick, Seasons 1 and 2, two different episodes.
Because that Magic Mike episode drops Monday by the time we're recording this.
Which is a couple weeks ago. I was thinking, you know, Haywire is going to be the most covered podcast on the network, I think, because they're doing it for the Contenders.
Yeah.
We did it for Cinemakers. We're going to do it for Magic Mike's. Huh. We've had a bunch of two, but I don't think we've ever had a three.
You got to figure out another reason to watch that for the show. Is there a
Gina Carano pod?
Wistful thinking anything?
Is
there some way we can call it the part three of a series?
I don't know. That would almost make more sense for your... Not that it would work, but that idea you had a while ago about the original and the remake, like, we could sort of do, like, a sort of spiritual thing with, like, the Limey and that, you know what I mean? Like, two directors, or one director, two movies.
Oh, is this... This is going to get really weird.
So, no, I think... It's not a problem I have with this movie, but a lot of this movie is, like, hyper-stylized, but not really for a reason. You know what I mean?
It just has, like, those whip pants and stuff.
A lot of it looks cool, but there's not, like, a thematic or cinematic reason why they're showing the shots that they are.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just
stylized,
whatever looks
best. Which is cool.
Definitely makes Cage look like a badass, though, when you get all these, like, Dutch angle shots of him shooting guns and things.
And I also feel like Cage, just being here, no shield, no armor, no cover, nothing.
Exposed.
He's like, he knows he's gonna die here, you know? From one way or another. This is the end for Cage. Look at him.
But he won't go out alone.
He's a professional. He's got to get those gold coins. So you can stay at the Continental. What if this was in the John Wick universe?
Oh, that'd be amazing. If all he really would have to have done was visit a... go stay at a hotel instead of that house.
Yeah, just have Ian McShane show up. Just be like there for one scene. Don't explain anything.
You have to put it together.
Because I feel like this is probably, of all the movies that Cage did, the one that's closest...
Yeah.
...to living in a John Wick-iverse.
I think so. Probably. Because, like, as stylized as it is, like, the story-wise and everything isn't that, like, crazy or unbelievable, you know?
No. And it's also sort of, it's similar to John Wick in that, like, he's not a retired hitman. He's just one that's sort of at the end of his run, right? And
it's almost like the good guy hitman, too.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Sort of with a moral compass, a little bit. Here we go.
This is something you will not ever see in any other movie, I don't think. So strange, but...
Getting out. It's in a way suicide by cop, but not intentional. You know?
think it's just, I want out. Just the only absolute way. It is a little strange, though, that he's so intimate with his last guy, like he's going to take him out with him.
And I wonder, I mean, I guess it depends on the kind of bullet. I don't know anything about guns, but, you know, what if he does this and, like, the bullet just gets lodged in his brain and the other guy doesn't die? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah, I think there's a certain caliber that'll shoot through. Like,
I also do think that, you know, if you're going to kill yourself, it also probably doesn't really matter too much if you also kill your mark, because you're going to be dead. Like, who what does it care? Like,
yeah,
you know, you're not going to profit from it.
I just would have thought, like, he would want to be alone, or, I don't know. I guess it's, you know, a sense of finality, though. Like, at least he knows he killed the last guy.
Yep.
He knows for sure.
Again, like Rage, aka Joker, one where Cage dies, bingo. Give me a timestamp, please, sir. 1:33:51. Just like Rage, aka Tokarev, at least Tokarev, not Rage, he kills himself at the end, so, you know, not the only time Cage will kill himself. Cage dies a bunch, but suicide at least twice, so.
Very
important
strange.
Note.
Yep. And we get it at least once with Keanu during that, what was that, 47 Ronin? When they all, like, kill themselves.
Yeah. I wonder if, like, you know, like, how good would 47 Ronin be, like, if Takashi Miike directed it? I don't know if he would, but, like, he goes back and forth between a couple different things, and here we go, that's the end of the movie.
I think what I said was, I wish it was Miyazaki's first live-action film. Like, I feel like he could have done something really poetic and sincere with that material. What's a tuk-tuk?
Don't know. You think we're going to get a post-credit scene where Cage is not actually dead? Just kidding. He is very dead. How many boxes did you cross off, not including the free space?
Oh, wait,
I have 13 of 24.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
I missed out on awkward sex scene, titular line spoken, which it's a real shame. We all missed out on titular line spoken. Cage laughs maniacally. Magic
missed
mysticism.
Missed that too.
New Orleans. Red sports car. Missed Las that. Vegas. Twin Peaks connection. Cage shaves. Gambling. Cage cries. So.
Okay. So the other things that I missed were Cage stands on something weird. Cage drinks alcohol. The beach. Helicopter. Someone plays a musical instrument. And I'm sure someone did some of that, but none of it would have mattered. Helicopter.
I think there was a harp. You can cross off a musical instrument. I think I saw a harp early on.
I still don't win.
No. So
but
last episode of this revisited podcast that we did, we were joined by Brian Rodriguez of the PS I Love Hoffman podcast. We did Honeymoon in Vegas, so go check that out if you didn't listen to that. It's 2 weeks ago. The next one we're going to do, here's a little sneak peek as we're through the very long credits of this film. The next one we're going to do is Red Rock West from 1993, so go find that. That is truly a great movie. One that I've seen before, didn't remember a lot, then we watched it again for Cage Club, and we both really liked it. You know, it's a Western Cage. We don't have too many Westerns.
It's like a modern Western.
Yep. So check that out, because that's great. That's going to come out in 2 weeks. This podcast comes out March 29th, which means, as we've been saying all along, that there's a new episode of Third Time's a Charm next week. There's going to be a little bit of a Ben Affleck teaser bonus thing on April Fool's Day. There's going to be presumably a new Now and Again. There's going to be the new Too Fast, Too Forever. Billy Club comes out next month.
Damn.
You know, we've got also every 2 weeks now, we've got the Winona Forever. We've got so the one that they just did as we're recording this was Square Dance. But the next movie, which is going to come out the 21st, so last week as you're listening to this, was Beetlejuice. I didn't realize that was
already
her third movie. Yeah.
Wow.
So go check out Winona Forever, which is the Winona Ryder podcast. Go check out The Contenders. Their next movie, which will also be the same week, I think, is going to be A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, okay.
So check that out.
Theatrical release.
And just go to cageclub.me/shows to see all of the shows that we do. And then also, this is the first time we've recorded one of these since I started doing this other thing on the site. Go to cageclub.me/hosts. You can see what we look like, and you see bios and stuff like this. Joe, too, wrote my bio, which is wonderful. But, you know, I just want to make sure, like, you know, we've if you've listened to our stuff, we've been in your ears for hundreds, if not thousands of hours. No, not thousands of hours. Hundreds of hours. Our faces are out there now, so you know, go check it out if you want to check it out. A lot of fun things at cageclub.me. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/cageclub, at cageclubpod on Twitter. Email us, mailbag@cageclub.me. You know, we're always doing things.
Man, these are long credits. What is happening?
It was like 6 or 7 minutes, I think, for an hour and 39-minute movie. I guess probably because you have, like, two different entire crews, maybe. Like, you have, like, probably the local team and, like, the Hollywood team, or...
I guess so.
I don't know. Fingers crossed that there's something post-credits, even though there will almost surely not be. Any other thoughts about Bangkok Dangerous before we run out of time?
No, it's a good one. I like it. I hope people check it out. If you haven't seen it, if you've been hesitant about it, it's got some good scenes, some good scenery, some nice ideas going on, and check out the original, because they're more companion pieces instead of like remakes. They're not direct remakes. It's very interesting what the Pang brothers have done. So check it out.
Cool. So we will see you next time. Red Rock West from 1993 is the one we're going to do in 2 weeks. So check that out.
Here we go. Is there anything here? We got anything? And nothing.
It's always disappointing when I'm like in a movie theater and I wait, and then like you see like that like that the whatever like, there's sort of a standard movie theater screen that comes
at the
up
very
just,
end.
Like,
yeah,
the lights come up and I'm just like, oh, like I waited like minutes of my life for nothing.
They
anyway.
Should just put the Captain America at the end of everything from Spider-Man. Patience is a virtue.
Every movie, whether you're a Marvel movie or not. All right, see you next time. Bye.